Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
The scripture for today's reading is from Luke 23, verses 33 to 43. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, the crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when I come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
If you ever find yourself in Palm Springs, I hope that you will visit my friend, the Reverend Jane Voits, who's the pastor at the Palm Springs United Methodist Church. She's really funny. In fact, before she was working in churches, she's what we in the biz call second career. I'm second career too. My first career was technology, was IT. Most of you know this. Jane's first career, I'm not joking, stand-up comedian. Can you imagine a stand-up comedian who becomes a pastor? And she's hilarious. Now, you know enough about me to know that I like to include humor from time to time in our sermons. Some people don't like that very much. But I think laughter soothes our soul. And sometimes when used right, when used strategically, laughter can help us arrive at a point. One of the best sermons I've ever heard, this is from a different friend, a guy named the Reverend Rick Ewells, who's serving up in, I can't remember the church he's serving now because he just moved. He told, it was at camp, and he told this great story that involved a Volkswagen bus and the police. And he told this hilarious story that had us all laughing, but then like some gifted speakers can do, whether they're preachers or not, like some gifted speakers can do, he turned this laughter into a brilliant point. But sometimes we think that our faith and spirituality are so important to us that there's no room for foolishness. There's no room for that. He's very poorly clothed. And he's dancing with all of his might. That's the way it's written. He's dancing before the Lord with all his might. And you know who gets mad at him? His own wife. Now, listen, if you aren't sure about which wife I'm talking about, because David had more than one, this is, I don't know if you pronounce it Michael or Michal, that's who gets mad at him. She says, "You're being ridiculous. You're being undignified. You are not exhibiting the power that should be exhibited by a king." And I love David's response. He says, "I will be more undignified than this if it's in the praise of my God." Now, between that story of David, between the story that we hear of Jesus on the cross, maybe it brings us to an important question. When we want to name, honor someone as king, What is it that we really ought to be talking about? Is it about having all the power? Is it about having all the wealth and all the money and all the land? That's what the world would tell us. The world would tell us that the way that we have power is have the most of everything. The most influence, the most money, the most land, the most wealth, the most power. But I suggest that what Christ tells us is different. It's ridiculous to think of the presence of God on earth allowing himself to be arrested and put on trial and crucified and to die. And yet what may be instructive is what we might find when we ask that question then. What does it really mean to be king? And when we honor Christ the King, is what we honor that infinite power? Or is it what Pastor Tara mentioned in the children's time? To get down on one's knees and serve. To live in the world like you can shine a light that cannot be put under a barrel or put out. To live in the world as though nothing matters but love. To live in the world spending time with those whose power has been robbed from them. And to help them be seen and remind them that they are valued members of the community of Christ. And that day it was the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the unmarried women. And who is it today? What does it mean to honor Christ as King? Is it to follow the symbols of power? Or is it to humble and empty one's self? See, those are also words from Paul, describing a God who empties God's self. The God who is exhibited through Christ on the cross shows God's self differently than the pillar of fire and smoke. It shows God's self in humble, sacrificial, unending, grace-filled love. And the people nearby, they laugh at him. They deride him. They make fun of him. If you're supposed to have all this power, if you're supposed to have all this influence, if you're supposed to be this incredible leader, if you're supposed to be the one named Christ and Messiah, then why aren't you doing anything? And yet Christ is doing everything from the cross. And then one of the criminals next to him. Who are you? You're clearly not who they say you are, otherwise you'd do something. And the other criminal, who gives what one commentator described as the first Christian sermon, shorter than mine is today. Saying this man is here for no reason at all. Right alongside us who are absolutely here for a reason. Do you remember how Jesus responds? Today you will be with me in paradise. And of course, we can think about that as the finality of death on a cross, and it's not going to take that long. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Or we might think about it this way. That today you understand the importance of humility and honor. Today you understand the importance of serving your neighbor. Today you understand the brilliant light of love in the darkness. Today, right now, is a time of paradise. Because I suggest, my friends, that paradise is not some far-off thing. Paradise is not some wait until we die to get out of this place so that we can experience something more, something better. But when we serve our neighbor today, when we love our neighbor today, when we go out into the world to those whose autonomy and whose privilege and whose power and the wealth and things that have been labeled in the world has been robbed from them, taken away from them, sometimes by a weapon in a nightclub, when we can go to those communities and when we can go to those places, that is already paradise. Paradise, because that's where love shows up. So let us not wait for a paradise in some long distant place, in some long distant time. Let us know. Let us have hope. Let us have faith that paradise is possible now, today, that we can build God's kingdom on earth today. And we can do it in and with love. Amen.